With strong foundations in place, space can be created for growth and new life. Join us for a walk on Mountain Road to raise funds so that women staying at the Native Women's Shelter will have access to a healing retreat and other workshops necessary to reground themselves, heal, and put solid foundations in place from which to move forward. Walk with us on June 10th on Mount Royal. For more information, search Spirit Walk.
evening, Montreal. You're listening to Easy Sonic Living on CKUT 90.3. Tonight we're going to delve into a genre of music called Lost Wave. So it's basically sounds and songs that people have no idea where they come from, right? Maybe it's like a cassette tape somebody had and there was a song on there on a mixtape and they couldn't figure out who it was from, and then they go to the internet and nobody knows where it is. And it's a whole thing. There's like tons of music that's lost, and there's tons of sleuths out there trying to figure out where these songs are from. So I'm going to play you some of these songs. Maybe if you recognize them, maybe if you're even singing in one, you can get in touch with these internet fans you now have. And that's about it. So sit back, relax. We're going to be exploring some lost hidden gems. Take care. CKUT 90.3.
Whether you're listening to a song on your device or the radio, or you simply have it stuck in your head, chances are you know the title. More often than not, you probably know the artist or band too. If it's by an artist or band you're a fan of, you'll probably be able to point out what album it's from, what year it came out, and what track number it is. But what if there was a song with an origin so mysterious you didn't know the album it was from, or the year it was recorded, or even who performs it? And yet, even more puzzling, what its title is. Here's a list of the top 10 most mysterious songs. Before we begin, a special thank you to the following Redditors for helping create this list of unknown songs. Number 10, It's Coming Alive. Back in 2003, the British newspaper, The Independent, listed a giveaway sampler CD called Free and Single Volume 1. Tracks 1 through 8 were relatively popular songs, such as Iggy Pop's Bang Bang and Van Morrison's Brown Eyed Girl. However, after the last note of track 8, Brian Eno's Deep Blue Day fades to silence. Then there's a gap of nothingness, lasting approximately 10 minutes, followed by tracks 9 through 15. All songs unlisted and lo-fi, the most catchy being track 10, colloquially called It's Coming Alive. We'll be right back.
Thomas. I am an artist, a film director.
I was very intrigued by your email.
I can't overstate how much this is driving me crazy.
Tell me about the problem.
So the problem began, this was probably, I don't know, this was a couple months ago now. I was leaving a dinner party with my wife. I think it was a holiday party. And, I had a couple of beers and we're driving back to our place. And as I tend to do, you know, I'm trying to get her attention, make her laugh. And I'm singing this song that's stuck in my head. And she's asking me, like, what is this? What is this weird song you're singing? And so I was like, you don't know this song? This is like a huge thing in the 90s. I can't believe you don't know this song. So I pull my phone out to try to find it so that I can put it on Bluetooth and we can listen to it on the drive home. And I can't find a single lyric to this song. I can't figure out, you know, who made it. Nothing, no information anywhere on Google about this song. And the next, you know, the next 10, 15 minutes of our drive home is quiet because I'm just sort of sitting in the passenger seat, like frantically searching for this song. And I eventually get home. It's like, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And she's like, well, I'm going to bed. And I was like, well, cool. I'm going to stay up. I got to figure this thing out. And I'm awake for the next like 3.5 hours on Google. And every time I searched something new and found another dead end, I was getting increasingly frustrated, but also kind of scared. Like it started to dawn on me that there was something really bizarre happening.
It felt almost like he'd found like a hole in the world, like a glitch. He said it wasn't like this was the best song in the world. Like that wasn't the problem. The way he described it, he said it's a song where it's like the choruses are kind of in the style of U2, but the verses are very Bare Naked Ladies.
So far, you're selling me like a song that I really don't want to listen to.
Well, don't worry, you can't. But just the point is not whether or not it's a good song. The point is that because Tyler couldn't find it, he just could not let go of this thing.
I would wake up in the middle of the night with a new lyric in my head and I'd go to my computer and write it down and then go back to bed. Like this, these lyrics were kind of like filtering into my brain because the lyrics of this song are not ambiguous lyrics. Like there are a million and one things that you should be able to just type into Google and it immediately pull up, you know, the right song. And instead Google was returning these like wildly literal search results. Like one of the lyrics is better than a sultan for a bride or something like that. And I'm searching this, and it's just pulling up pictures of like royalty, you know, like sultans and royalty and their family. I'm like, this is the weirdest thing that there's absolutely nothing on the internet about this song.
Does he know how he remembered the lyrics so clearly? Was it a song he heard a lot?
Yeah, it's a song that he said like he would have heard a lot in like junior high school era when he was growing up in Arizona.
Okay.
Which also means that he has remembered the song with what I have to say is a remarkable amount of clarity for over 2 decades.
So the intro, the kind of intro to Measures, it's like this. I think it's like a flute. And the whole kind of conceit of the song is better than, you know, and then they sort of rattle off a bunch of things like, yeah, you're better than a dude when I'm on with a G string, better than the promise of a good one night fling, better than, you know, it's like just sort of.
Oh, that is Bare Naked Ladies-y.
It's very Bare Naked Ladies-y, right?
Yeah.
And then this sort of, and then the chorus is just like, share your love with me tonight. I want to feel that love, which is like kind of U2. It has this sort of grand, like arena, arena sound to it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's catchy, even like your rendition of it. Like it's like, it has like Nokia ringtone.
Yeah. There's like an earwormy quality to it for sure.
I'm like,
you don't recognize that.
No,
nobody recognized this. So the next thing Tyler did to solve this, it was such a desperate attempt at a solution. So Tyler's not a musician, but he decided to try to record the song on his own using like Adobe Premiere because he's a filmmaker. So he recorded like a multi-track version of it where he is doing every single instrument himself,
with his mouth?
With his mouth. Do you want to hear what he made?
I absolutely do.
Okay. This is truly inspired.
Do, do, Long before I held you in my dreams, you came and captured my imagination. Though some things are never what they seem, I'll never have to worry, cause I know you are. You're better than
I hate to say it, but one of the reasons this doesn't help much is because
he's
not necessarily like a natural born singer.
No, he would be the first to admit that.
Better than the daughter of a sultan for a bride, better than the cherry on a whipped cream sundae, better than the
share your love with me tonight.
Oh, Tyler.
Feel that love.
Thank you. second post-industriel où le succès est essentiel se mêle des vies parallèles sans projet au fond du tunnel.
Some comments about from some of the people basically on the internet who are looking, trying to hunt down these songs and what they mean to them. These particular comments go along with this song, Sinking Ships, Strangers. And yeah, here we go. To be honest, this song gives me a feeling of comfort. I might just be weird, but I've always liked the feeling of darkness and emptiness. I feel like it gives me room to breathe and let go of my anxieties. Sometimes I listen to songs like this at night on my horizontal tire swing because it makes me feel like I'm the only person in the world in that moment. I love the chill breeze as I swing and the sound of the crickets and cicadas if I'm not listening to music. I'm curious to know if anyone else feels this way. I get filled with such an inexorable sadness when I hear this song, like nostalgia for a time I never had. The word for that is anemoia, nostalgia for a time you've never known. It may be stupid, but when I listen to this kind of song, I feel an unfillable void inside my chest and get the urge to cry. Like there is something or someone awakened by them, pounding walls and screaming to be let out, but they can't. They remind me of old times I can't place nor picture, but there's a lot of grain in them, with splashes of olive green, burgundy, dull yellow, and orange in walls, furniture, and old cars. They make me feel like I'm missing something, but what? Like I don't belong here, but where? What happened to me, or even am I really me? I get the same feeling when I watch tour videos of old, now abandoned houses with everything left behind. Did I leave something behind? I can almost listen to conversations within their walls. Maybe that's why I have such a complicated relationship with nostalgia. Anyway, sorry about this introspective thing no one asked for. You can bully me now. This sort of song reminds me and makes me think of memories that were never there, experiences that never were and probably never will be. This song just has an odd sort of layer of relatability to it, the kind that you wouldn't expect from most songs, but when it comes along, it really does become noticeable. This song makes me think of places that have never been, all in various shades of blue, gray, or green, like something someone else had said or detailed in a much better and more detailed way. What comes to mind when I listen to this, riding my bike to school on an October morning, an audio cassette in my Walkman, headphones on, singing along in not at all good singing voice, as I cross streets and go through stoplights along the way. I never even rode my bike to school, but that's how this song makes me feel. I feel like this song is about a person who knew an adult from when they were young, such as a family friend. The words that the person said couldn't really understand what the adult was saying, which results in them trying to recall what they had said and reflect on how it was such a long time ago.
So anyway, the band leaves the control room, goes in the live room, and they start warming up. The crazy thing, the thing that I didn't expect, was that basically Tyler immediately transformed into, like, a very confident music producer. Like, he was running around, he was like, okay, guitar's gonna do this.
Instead of a da-da-da,
yeah. Like, the cymbals, I think, need to be a little more shimmery. Like, bass is gonna do this.
Is there a sparser bass line? It feels busy. Like, there's something that
he's like, you know, the guitar's supposed to sound a little more like edge guitar, like from U2.
Is there a way to turn down the level of funkiness?
He was so specific in his musical instruction in a way that I would never have been able to be.
It sounds like trying to make a police sketch.
Yes, it's totally like a police sketch, except in this case, the dude who got mugged has perfect recall for people's faces. Oh, like, true. Tyler started coaching the drummer, he started coaching the bassist, the guitarist who also played flute, and then he jumped in the vocal booth with Christian and was coaching him through vocals.
Though some things are never what they seem,
yeah.
I never have to worry, because I know you are. You're better than an...
Dude!
Tyler was so high off the thrill of seeing the song come back to life. First of all, he made his wife come to the studio to see, because he was like, this is real. This is real. You can see the song is real. And then he would like...
Like in the middle of it, he called her.
He called her and she came. She drove over to the studio and he was clutching his hair in his hands in like pure joy. And then he even actually started remembering parts of the song that he'd forgotten. He's like, oh, you know, there's this guitar solo. Could we do the guitar solo?
Share your love with me. And it goes back into this.
I'm very happy for Tyler.
I know. It felt great. It felt like we'd actually yanked this thing out of his memory and turned it into an actual roadmap we could actually use to find the real song. Do you want to hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Buddy is such a trooper for actually saying these lyrics.
He kind of killed it.
Some things are never what they seem. I never have to worry because I know you are. You are better than a dream or a model with a G-string. Better than the promise of a good one-night thing. Better than a book full of Betty Page pictures. Even if it came with a year subscription. You're better than a ticket to a holy filled ring set. Better than the daughter of a sultan. Four-by. Better than the cherry on a whipped cream sundae.
Better than a cherry on a whipped cream sundae. The guitars are shimmering.
They're very much shimmering.
The rhythm guitar shimmers.
I wanna feel that love.
Is this all out?
Then you ran it through the thing and you figured out what it was.
We put it into SoundHound. No result.
Uh-huh.
But we now had like a real version of the song. We could go play it for people. We could find somebody who recognized it. I had this feeling like I was carrying almost like an artifact in my pocket. Like we had plucked this song from whatever late 90s Napster graveyard it had been interred in. And it was ours now. You know, it was like having a baby Triceratops in my pocket. So I figured the best place to take this would be to music critics. So I called Brendan Klinkenberg. He's a senior editor at Rolling Stone. Okay, here we go.
Better than a dream, more model with a G-string. Better than the promise of a good one-night thing. Better than a book full of Betty Page pictures, even if it came...
I do not know this song.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Do you want me to grab some people like in a conference room?
Yes. Oh my God. Yes, please.
I can get, there's a bunch of people who would be better suited to have heard this.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. Brennan was referring to the fact that he is 28 and there are a lot of critics at Rolling Stone who are older than 28. So he grabbed five of them. He said between them, there was over 100 years of pop music writing experience in one room.
You're talking to the Rolling Stone Brain Trust. We were young in this time period and listening to a lot of modern music like this.
Yeah. So I played it for them. Nothing.
No, nothing.
Not at all. Not ringing any bells.
They thought that because they didn't recognize the song, it actually meant the song probably didn't exist.
That's either a super elaborate prank or...
Something's very strange here. Something's off in the...
I mean, what do we know off about the guy? Is he telling the truth? I mean, like, is he...
Does he work for a viral marketing company?
Their honest-to-God best guess was that this was a hoax. That Tyler was just lying to me. But I believe Tyler. So I went for a second opinion. I called Jessica Hopper. She's a legendary music critic. She used to edit Pitchfork. She ran MTV News. All right, here we go.
Okay.
Do you recognize this at all?
Part of it.
Really? Yeah.
This song probably exists. Where did he live?
He lived in Arizona. He lived in suburban Arizona, and he said he only listened to the radio and not cool radio.
I love this challenge. This is weird. And it was a man singing.
Yeah.
It was a rock band.
So the one other place he found it on the internet when he looked, there was a post on a Stratocaster guitar forum. And that guy was in Trinidad and Tobago.
It's a major label record.
Major label record?
Because there's no indie record that would have, like, literally gotten around the world to weird places like that. It would have had to be something that was a charting hit.
But then if it's a charting hit, how is it not on the internet?
Fuck.
Yeah.
This is a real Bermuda Triangle.
Yes.
Situation. They've both sailed through this song. Oh my God. Okay. Can you send me a copy of this?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So next person I tried was, I emailed Robert Christgau. You know who Robert Christgau is?
Yeah.
Like Dean of American Pop Music.
Wait,
like,
you contacted Robert Christgau about this?
I emailed Robert Christgau about it. I was like, he's heard every pop song since 1967. So he told me to email him the song, which I did. And he said, you know, actually, the person who would really know this is Rob Sheffield, which was the same thing the Rolling Stone editors had said. Everybody seems to agree that Rob Sheffield is the human encyclopedia of forgotten pop music. He would definitely know it.
When it comes to terrible music from the vault of collective cultural memory, I'm the janitor with the broom.
So can I play you this mess?
Yes.
Is this ringing any bell?
No. It's not ringing any bells at all. I'd love to hear just like a bit of it again.
Yeah, let me play for you.
Thank you. Now, something I picked up that I didn't pick up the first time.
Yeah.
Is reference to the Betty Page pictures.
Yes.
Which is, like, that's super specific. That's definitely late 90s. It's definitely not early 90s. I would bet, you know, not a limb, I would bet a toe that it's 1997 to 99.
What do I do?
Have you tried, like, just, you know, walking from town to town with a ukulele? Knocking on doors?
That feels like the punishment. That feels like what,
yes.
My sentence. So this is the point where my obsessive brain just really dug its teeth in. Because despite all this work, not only was I no closer to finding the song was winning. It had wormed itself into my brain so terribly. I actually realized it's been decades since I heard a pop song that I couldn't just immediately look up online to get out of my head. And it was like, in the meantime, my brain's defenses had atrophied. Like, during the day, it was kind of fine. Like, I'd walk around humming the song, I'd see people in the hallways and sing lyrics to them. It was at night that it got really bad. I'd go home, I'd eat dinner, I'd get in bed, and I'd just lie there, staring at the ceiling, the guitar solo, just 17 seconds of music looping in my head for hours, like, till literally 3 a.m. I have an obsessive brain. I'm used to obsessing over things. This was uniquely bad. It was just a melody. A melody and this question, which was starting to feel, frankly, infuriating. How on God's green earth can you have a hit radio song that actually just gets vaporized from history? And it wasn't just me. Like, one of these nights, I got a text from Christian, the singer. He was also awake, also humming it to himself. Hello? Your brain is broken the way my brain is broken.
It's like Tyler has like a contagious disease. He's patient zero, and now we all have it. I talked to Jay and Max, who played on the session. I guess they had dinner the other night specifically to talk about the song because they both are having the same, I guess the same thing that we're having, where it's just
I'm Radio is brought to you by Squarespace. Oh, hi there. In 1999, a young man by the name of Carl was experimenting with audio recording, burning these tests to a DVD backup. And anyone who's made one of these DVDs or CDs as a youngster knows the joy of rediscovery. Finding that old box, those old jewel cases, or that disc binder. Playing them one more time, letting the memories rush back to you. Finding some old songs you forgot about, and maybe even a few you're glad you forgot about. In 2021, Carl was doing just that, rediscovering his old recordings from decades past. During his trip down memory lane, Carl found something odd. Something he couldn't quite place. A lone audio file dated to 1999. Curious if anyone else knew where this clip came from? On October 7th, 2021, under the name Carl92, he uploaded a 17-second clip of this unknown song to What's That Song, a site dedicated to identifying music. He titled his post, Pop, English, Mid-80s, Bad Quality. Everyone knows that. Here's what he uploaded. The track just feels so nostalgic, so familiar, but no one could place it. One user asked for a longer clip. Carl92 responded, "Thanks. Sorry, that's all I have. I don't remember its origin. I rediscovered this sample between a bunch of very old files and a DVD backup. Probably I was simply learning how to capture audio, and this was a leftover. The thing is, it sounds somewhat familiar to me, or maybe I'm mistaken with a similar song, and I thought it wasn't going to be a too obscure one. I tried it in aha-music.com, and also tried searching the lyrics, but my English is not good enough for that. I only understand something like, everyone knows that. You can't tell me the truth." 8 days after Carl's original post, What's That Song user null42x86 posted the song to r/lostwave, a subreddit dedicated to figuring out the identity of unknown songs. The post got some attention, but it never went anywhere. Carl92 seemed to get annoyed with all the questions. All we were able to get out of him was that he's from Spain, and that's likely where the song was recorded. He soon lost interest in the search and stopped replying to comments. He hasn't been heard from since. The search would lay dormant for about half a year until July 11th, 2022, when Reddit user excellent_ad_497 reinvigorated interest in Everyone Knows That with another post to r/lostwave. This post would become the most popular ever on the subreddit, with 393 updotes. But for whatever reason, it would get deleted. And looking at the user's Reddit history, they posted a lot of spam to other subreddits, all of which have been deleted too. But more importantly, this reinvigorated the search and would lead to the YouTube channel, Annie's other channel, to upload a remastered version of Everyone Knows That. This video would serve as the inflection point for the entire search, amassing 1.7 million views. The song became known as Everyone Knows That, Ulterior Motives, due to a common interpretation of the lyrics. This unrelated photo became associated with the song, being taken from a 2022 Depop listing for a Next Play Glitz and Glitter boombox, advertised by the seller as a Paris Hilton radio. The photo has since been expanded with AI, leading to the image we have in Annie's video. The Depop listing also has a video of the boombox that, I don't know, just has this sinister energy to it. It looks forbidden. I've seen re-uploads of this video where everyone claims it's AI generated, and I don't blame them. It has an unsettling feel to it. This boombox also makes a cameo in the Bratz movie. I would highly recommend it. It's just a terrible movie. With the song reaching a wider audience, folks were able to pick apart the clip, isolating the vocals and the instruments to give us a...
You know, email, text yelling at me about all the horrible things that I was.
into the PGM. The mics weren't going in. Now we're doing it. Space plane is officially in the building.
Oh yeah, buddy.